The Son of Man will come at the hour when you do not expect Him. The Scripture tells us today that the people at the time of Noah did not know that the floods were coming. Now we know that Noah built this enormous ark on dry land. His huge ark. And we know that Noah had been telling the people what was to come. And we know that the Lord had spoken through Noah as a prophet, warning them. Yet it said the people did not know until the flood came. You think they would have noticed those animals coming in from all over the world and marching up the ramp of the ark. It reminds me so much of the Bill Cosby comedy record he did many, many years ago back in the 60s. Him, Bill Cosby, being Noah, and he telling him, he said, "Lord, I've had it." He said, "The neighbors are making fun of me and everything, and everybody is just won't put up with it anymore, and I just can't handle this anymore. This is just crazy, Lord. I'm not going to finish this ark because it just doesn't make any sense and everything. I'm not going to do it." And Noah, "Yes, Lord. How long can you tread water?" "Yes, Lord, I'm with you." But they didn't notice. They didn't know. And we're told that it's going to be the same when Jesus Christ returns. The people, there'll be people who will be surprised and amazed. And if I had only known, I wish I'd known. And yet it's been proclaimed for thousands of years that this is going to happen. You need to be ready. The interesting thing is, it says that people will be marrying and drinking and eating, and people will be going about life. People will be working. It says that there'll be people in the field and people cooking and making grain. There'll be people at work. It doesn't tell us that we're supposed to close ourselves up in a monastery someplace and pray and pray and wait. It tells us we're supposed to be out there living. In Luke talks about this in the book of Acts as well, in the first chapter. I should have marked it in my Bible, huh? So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus didn't say to go and hide away or listen to would-be prophets tell you how they've calculated what the Lord says he will not disclose. People tell us, "Oh, this is the sign, that's the sign. This proves it. I believe that this shows where the time is." When the Lord says, "You will not know until it's time," trust me, you will not know until it's time. But what are we to do? Well, it says we're to work. We're to go about our business. We're to marry. We're to eat and drink and enjoy life, live life. So we're to live life. That's clear. But what Jesus said in Acts is that you're to go to all the ends of the earth making disciples. You're to spread the good news. So yes, we're to live our lives. But we're to spend this time wisely. The problem with the people in Noah's time wasn't that they were doing all bad things, although the people were clearly very evil. That's why God destroyed it. The problem was that they did not worship God, and they did not fear God, and they did not share the good news with others. It may seem unfair that only Noah and his family were saved, along with the animals, but it was indeed completely fair, because none of us deserve salvation. None of us deserve to be saved. We're born in sin. And so what Christ said is that you will not know the time. And he said, not even I know the time. Only the Father. And when it comes, it'll come swiftly, like a thief in the night. Now, I know that I'm probably the only procrastinator here in church today. The only one who puts things off that we know that we should do, thinking, I'll do it tomorrow. It's not quite like the gas station that says free gas tomorrow. But the salvation, assuring your salvation, is not something that we should put off. If we have any doubts, if we have any concerns, we need to be on our knees. We need to be praying to God to heal us, to save us. We need to be pledging our life to our Lord. The thing about salvation, once we have received assurance of the Holy Spirit that we have salvation, this is such a precious, precious gift that Jesus says that we're to spend our time and energy sharing this. We're to make sure that everyone knows. Now, Jesus says, one will be taken, another will not. Not everyone will hear. Not everyone will receive the word. But that doesn't need to ever stop you from sharing the word. One of the things that I found most difficult in ministry and as a teacher in church was that there's always a certain number of people that you encounter in life who just absolutely won't hear it. Absolutely refuse to hear it. But Jesus didn't say to go and share the word with those who are eager to hear. He said, go and share it with all the world. He said, go to share it with all the world. And that means even with that disagreeable person down the street. That means even with that aunt of yours who seems so unapproachable. Even with that nephew that worries you so much. And Jesus said that it's not only that we need to do this, but we need to do it now. Because none of us knows when the time will come, when the day will come. And when the day comes, it's too late. There is an urgency about sharing the word with one another. On the way to church this morning, Debbie and I were listening to a pastor talk about the growth of Christianity in much of the world, in the nations, in the African nation, and throughout much of the world. Even in Egypt, Christianity has grown exponentially since 1920. It has grown many, many hundredfold, many thousandfold since then. Yet in the United States, it has declined. In Western Europe, it has declined. In Australia, it has declined. So the need to be sharing the good news in all these African nations caused many to join missionaries and to do missionary works in years past. But you know, the Christianity has not been spread in these nations by missionaries. Yes, it started off there years ago, many, many decades ago. But the Christian fervor going throughout the world outside of the United States and Europe, the Christian fervor has been spread by Christians in those nations. I was at a presbytery meeting a couple years ago, about a year ago, I guess, and they had a high-level pastor from the Christian church in Ethiopia, and he said that they are training their pastors and teaching their pastors that in the future they will be doing mission work to the United States. He said, many decades ago, you came to us. Now we're preparing missionaries to come and share the good news with you, because your nation has fallen so far and so deep. The interesting nature of this scripture today that talks about the time is coming, the hour is coming, and we know not when, is that it's a personal message. It's not a message to the churches. Jesus didn't say there'll be a church in worship over here, and there'll be a church in worship over there, and one church will be taken and the other will be left. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't say that this denomination will be taken and that denomination will be left. Jesus said that you and a friend will be sitting at your desk together at work, sitting over your kitchen table having coffee, sitting, working at a fundraiser, and one will be taken and the other will be left. This is not about the churches. This is a personal message. This is a personal message to you. This is a personal message to me. And we have to understand this message in a very personal way. It's so easy to look at Scripture and think that they're talking about the people who are not in church. I think I've used the example before, you know, if the team that wins the Super Bowl coming up this year will be, everybody on the team will get a ring. But that's not true for everybody sitting in a pew in the church. God's message, Jesus' salvation, is personal, individual. Salvation does not come to churches. Salvation does not come to denominations. Salvation does not come to nations. Salvation comes to you and to me if we will receive it, if we will hear it. So the message of this scripture is personal, and it's asking you and it's asking me, are you ready? If Jesus Christ comes today, are we as individuals ready for that? And if not, then we've got work to do. Now, we can't work our way into salvation, but we have things that we must do. We must appeal to Jesus to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, to confess our sins, and to repent. This Christmas, all of the churches will be celebrating the birth of Christ. And as we proceed through the Advent season, we will be remembering those great promises that Christ has made us. And as we go through this, we need to think about these and remember that these great promises came to you and me personally. They didn't come to churches. They didn't come to denominations or to nations. And we cannot receive our salvation as a nation or a church. We can only receive it one-on-one with our Lord and Savior. And that is why we were allowed to receive the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, if we will only hear it. Praise be to God. Amen.